One Tree Hill is a 300 foot high woody hill which marks the border between Lewisham and Southwark in southeast London. On and off for 28 years, I've lived in a road which runs up into the side of One Tree Hill. And as is so often the case, when you live near an area of natural beauty, you take it for granted. The park is frequented by people out for a stroll, walking their dogs. As a child here, I would come to climb trees, and as a teenager, it was the perfect place to have a sneaky bottle of cider with school friends, away from disapproving adults. Owned by the council, One Tree Hill was always open for the public to freely roam. But in 1896, the local golf course decided that it was actually part of their land, and they fenced it off to members of the public.
On Oak Hill, up to the autumn of 1896, when it was quietly but effectively enclosed by a golf club, had been always an open space, and from time immemorial, a popular place of resort for the local people. The barring of the public from this hitherto much frequented spot by the erection of a 6-foot fence caused a storm of indignation.
A committee was set up to try and get the hill back. What followed was 5 years of campaigning. The secretary of the committee was John Nesbitt. His great-grandson, Stephen Grinley, still lives in the area.
He was John Nesbitt, was my father's mother's father. The golf club wanted to build over the whole of One Tree Hill, so the golf course would have covered the hill. Then there was a lot of building going on in the area, apart from anything else. The end of the Victorian period, South London in general, but this area in particular, was very heavily developed. Most of the buildings, most of the houses are Victorian. And I think it was that this is one other bit of open space, an important bit of open space, significantly, that was not suitable for building. It was too steep. And it's a feeling I share. Golf courses I don't actually approve of. They are fairly exclusive and they don't enhance the natural appearance of an area. And I feel that, you know, that's probably how they felt about One Tree Hill, that it was going to be exclusive, people couldn't walk freely across it, and it was a very prominent feature, visible from a fair distance round.
The committee, however, split into two different groups. One who chose the legal, peaceful approach, and another who chose more direct action. And there was actually a couple of riots up here, where up to 100,000 people were involved, which is just amazing to try and imagine that now.
There were the groups who tore down the fence that was put around it and stormed over the hill, measured in tens of thousands on particular days. And there were the law-abiding groups, of which he was a principal, not the only one, there were several councillors involved, who wanted to use legal means to preserve.
One Tree Hill is the highest point for miles and miles around. It really is a wonderful view, which, as I say, you do take for granted when you live right next to it. I'm just looking out now across into central London. You can see St Paul's, you can see right over the City of London, and the hills of Hampstead Heath are on the horizon. The view must have been spectacular 100 years ago, when there were far fewer trees. Over to the east, I can see Canary Wharf and the sprawling Docklands. And if I turn round and look towards the south, I can see the London suburbs turning into Kent and Sussex.
It is an incredible view. I mean, historically, there were no trees, or there was only the one tree, so the view would be even more spectacular. It's debatable, I suspect, whether it's better to have clear the hill and enjoy the views, which would be incredible with me.
There are black poplar trees, London planes. There's all kind of different species of birds, woodpeckers and kestrels, surprisingly. It's also really common to see foxes, especially in the summer. You see them lying on their back, sunning themselves. People who've never visited One Tree Hill would be really surprised to know that we're only 4 miles from Charing Cross and Zone 3 London. You don't expect this level of nature and wildlife. Most of the visitors who come to One Tree Hill are probably unaware of the historical background. Its name, for example. It's a strange name for a place which clearly has more than one tree.
It was much less... There were much fewer trees over it. And it was literally... historically, it literally was just a hill visible from a long way round with one tree on. The point of the one tree is that it was a boundary oak, a boundary tree. Historically, the boundary between the parish of Camberwell, St Giles Camberwell, and St Mary's Lewisham. And because it was such a prominent spot, there was a boundary oak on One Tree Hill, and that was the one tree visible because there were no other trees on it from a long way around.
It's been thought that the park got its name because Queen Elizabeth I used to have lunch here.
On May Day, the Queen went a-maying to Sir Richard Buckley's at Lewisham, some 3 or 4 miles off Greenwich.
The Oak of Honour thing, because it's also on Oak Hill, that is also quite interesting. That relates to a story that Queen Elizabeth I, who had her royal court at Greenwich, was staying with a man called Sir Richard Bulkeley, and he had a house on the Catford-Sydenham borders in Lower Sydenham called Place House. This was in around about 1601, and she spent some time with him on May Day in 1601, and they went a-maying, and there is actually a written account of her going a-maying, celebrating May Day with Richard Bulkeley on what is presumed to be One Tree Hill, and it became known as Honour Oak Hill in honour of the fact that the Queen Elizabeth spent May Day on this hill.
The local story is that one day she had a bit too much to drink and knighted the tree instead of a knight, and the tree got the name the Oak of Honour. It's also claimed that this is the site where Queen Boadicea was defeated by the Romans.
Some modern researchers are of the opinion that the district comprising Honour Oak is the locality where, in AD 61, was fought the battle that resulted in the total defeat of the heroic Boadicea, the warrior queen of the Iceni, and the slaughter of 80,000 of her followers by 10,000 Roman veterans under the leadership of Suetonius Paulinus.
No, she definitely didn't. Roman historians know, they don't know exactly the site, but it's not, certainly not in South London. Definitely not. The Lie of the Land fits in with the one Roman historian account that we have of the defeat of Boadicea. But, that is very fanciful. I don't think any other historian would say there's any truth in it. But it's a nice story. My feeling is that, he, John Nisbet, and the others involved in the campaign, as you, it's perfectly understandable, would have brought in anything, whether it was true or not, because it focused public attention. It's a technique which is still used. He doesn't say it's true, but he brings it in because it helped to interest people. In it, and I think that's probably quite valid if you're trying to run a campaign like that.
The hill's 300 feet tall, and because of its height, the East India Company used to have a semaphore station here. The semaphore station used great wooden arms to signal to central London that one of its vessels had arrived in the channel.
There was a semaphore station on there. That's all evidence of that's disappeared. There was one. That was an army thing. There was a chain of those going towards the coast, probably Dover, but on hilltops. There was one on One Tree Hill. And they were just a chain of stations which had line of sight visibility. Each could see the in either direction, so they could transmit messages by using these sort of flapping sort of structures on top. And by moving the flaps, they could sort of send messages to each other. So it was to alert for invasions. I mean, mostly it was the French invading during the sort of period of the Napoleonic Wars.
Still here now is a gun emplacement built for the First World War and used again in the Second. Just the stone foundations remain now, and covered in graffiti, it's hard to imagine weapons attached to it.
'Tis very bad in man or woman to steal the goose from off the common, but who shall plead that man's excuse who steals the common from the goose?
The thing that I'm aware of is that the hill was fenced, the golf club put up a fence around it, and that was pulled down, and people actually walked over what was technically regarded as private land, and they did walk, in effect trespass on the hillside. I don't think it amounted to much more than that, but the committee was obviously not happy about that. They felt that that wasn't the proper way, the appropriate way to go about dealing with it. In the end, I suppose, they were right, because Camberwell Council took it into its hands to take over the hill or acquire the hill and preserve it as an open space.
Michael Council is the vicar of St Augustine's Church, which lies on the slopes of One Tree Hill.
There were the rioters, and they were the usual local ruffians. Then there were also the, what they called themselves, the constitutionalists, Councillor Nisbet and his friends, and they got nowhere either. But it was the two together, coming together, actually resulted in the preservation of this much-loved public open recreational space.
That's a fairly, that's fairly understandable. You still get exactly the same thing, even in a, you know, I mean, I can remember in my youth with the conflict between the CND and the Committee of 100. And I think this is probably a similar sort of conflict between those who, the respectable people who wanted to stay within the law and those who felt that the law wouldn't help them and that they had to take it into their own hands. If it had just been the direct action people, public opinion, they would have lost public support. If it had just been the law-abiding people, it would have dragged on for more than the 5 years. So between them, I think they probably needed each other to resolve it.
It's the only wild hilltop I know of in South London at all. It's a wonderful sight. Of course, it's been taken into this category of being a public park.
It only remains to add that the purpose for which the protest committee came into existence on the 6th of August 1897, namely to restore One Tree Hill to the public, has been accomplished, and although that end has not been attained in the way that was intended when the agitation first started, that is, by the establishing of public common rights, nevertheless, we can congratulate ourselves that a beautiful and historic resort has been saved from the hand of an all-devouring speculative builder and secured for the use of the public forever.